Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we've been talking about the challenges that we face as we're learning to move in the supernatural gifts. Hearing from some of you the feedback of really about the whole concept of being proactive in learning to move in the supernatural gifts, I just want to spend a couple moments on that. We're looking at bringing the whole supernatural realm into a comfort level. If you've been born again, you are a spirit being. You have the authority and power and wisdom that comes with being a spirit being. The supernatural gifts reside in your soul, in your mind, your will, and your emotions. They function in the supernatural realm. They affect the natural realm. Everything can affect the natural realm. But the authority is in the spirit realm. And as a spirit, you have authority over the supernatural realm and the natural realm. So the gifts, the characteristics that are present in your soul are part of what God gave you. You have a soul. You are not a soul. You are a spirit. You have a soul. Your soul has characteristics and qualities that God gave you. You have weaknesses and strengths. But within your soul, as a spirit being, your spirit has authority. Your spirit can tell your soul what to do, just like your soul can tell your body what to do. As we approach this concept, some of the issues that we come up against are strictly our own beliefs, what we've been taught. But some of them are also very practical. Because as you begin to take authority over your soul in the realm of learning how the supernatural realm works, how these gifts work, how to exercise your authority, you will also come up against your soul. Your soul has been operating under its own strength, and it has gotten used to doing things its own way. And it's going to be hard to break it of those habits of doing things its own way. Your soul has developed crutches and manipulations and habits based on your unique strengths and weaknesses. Now, the strengths and weaknesses are God-given. You don't have to fight those. It's when we compensate for one or the other, when we try to rely on our strengths or hide our weaknesses, instead of accepting and not living according to the soul that God gave us. We can look at parallels in the natural. In your body, you have certain physical characteristics. You have certain color hair. Your skin is a certain color. You're a certain gender. You're a certain age. All those things are characteristics of your body. They are not you. Now, society, your family, your boss, your friends may treat you a certain way because of the characteristics of your body. Our challenge as spirit beings is to keep that in its appropriate place. We don't want to let it be a stumbling block, and we don't want to use that either. We don't want to let it be a distraction to us, whether negatively or positively. For instance, say, you know, look at who is successful in Christian ministry on TV. Usually they are attractive people because that is easier to get people's attention. And they may feel more comfortable being on TV. Well, you and I, our responsibility is to not be distracted by someone's appearance, either positively or negatively, or even how they sound. They may sound confident or insecure. We can't accept or not accept what they're saying based on how they sound. Well, then, how do we know what to accept? We ask the Lord. We always go back to Him. He Himself will fine-tune your hearing, your vision, your senses, your physical senses, and your soulical senses. And that brings us back to learning about our supernatural senses, our soulical senses that operate in the supernatural realm. We almost take for granted our physical senses, being able to see and smell and hear. Unless there's a problem in one of those senses, we expect them to operate as they always have. In the supernatural realm, God wants us to become as comfortable and familiar with how our soulical senses operate as well. So He wants us to learn how the supernatural realm functions. And the best way to start becoming comfortable is to learn how to cultivate a quiet lifestyle and how to learn to sense His presence. He's always present with you. The best way to start being proactive in all the above, in learning to hear His voice, learn how the supernatural realm works, how to operate in the gifts, is learning to wait. Presenting yourself quietly as available to God and just listening. Having an open ear. You may not hear anything. Odds are you won't. But having that open ear to God, He is working in and through you at His quickest pace because we are cooperating with Him when we are quiet and still and letting Him do His thing. I like to liken it to if you want to lay out in the sun to get a tan. There's some preparation work you do. You wear certain things. You go out at a certain time. You plan. But then you just lay still. And you know that the sun is doing its job. So we let God do his job in us. We present ourselves, we do the prep work, then we let him do the heavy lifting. So as we go forward to talking about the gifts, these are things you received when you came onto this earth. When God gave you your soul, it came with the gifts installed. You are opening the gifts that you already have. We want to be available to God to be pointed to the gift that he wants to speak to us about, that he wants to train us or teach us about at any given time. And we want to learn how to use the gifts, play with the gifts, enjoy the gifts, share the gifts according to his plan. Because everything in our life is about our training. Instead of being focused on what we accomplish or produce here on this earth, thinking that it's going to determine where we are in the next life in heaven, we take the perspective that this life here on this earth is basically like a school grade, like second grade, third grade, fourth grade. And there are things that we are to learn in this existence on this earth. And we're going to go to the next grade, to whatever's next. And if we haven't learned, for instance, if we haven't learned basic multiplication, next year we're going to be moving on to geometry or algebra, and you're going to be behind, and you're going to have to learn to catch up. But we don't have even the foggiest idea what's available to us now, here on this earth now, let alone what God has for us next. And we don't have to. Now, I believe God wants to show us and speak to us and draw us according to his goodness and the good things he has for us. The exciting things, the creative things, the loving things. But you don't have to know what those are. Except that the training he has for you right now will have you ready for whatever he has for you tomorrow. You don't have to have all the answers. Your spirit already does. Who you truly are. But we're all in process of becoming one spirit, soul, and body. So we've been talking about some of the challenges in learning to move in the gifts of the spirit. We've been talking about personal immaturity, and that's just each one of us has a certain level of immaturity where none of us are fully mature. But we're also in different levels of maturity in using the gifts. So that can be, somebody can be perfectly, well, farther along being mature as a person and just starting out and very childish in using the gifts of the Spirit, or vice versa. Someone can be very naturally or unnaturally immature in their personal lives, have no self-control, have never had any challenges to grow in maturity, and yet be very mature in the gifts. This is really something God has his plan in place for each one of us. So we want to recognize that just because someone is immature personally doesn't give any of us our own justification to ignore the results of their using their gifts or to neglect the operation of the gifts in our own lives. Just because you feel you're personally mature, that has nothing to do with how mature you are in the supernatural gifts. Or you may think, oh, I've got so far to go as a person, as personally immature. And we all do. But don't let that affect your desire and your hunger and your thirst and your acceptance. You may be much more mature in ministering out of the gifts. So we don't want to get distracted by looking at where anybody is. There's going to be a time for judging and evaluating. But that's another area where God trains us and leads us up to, okay, now we're going to start being objective about what's going on, getting feedback, giving feedback, looking for our own evaluation of how we're doing and being able to share with others how they're doing. But for right now, we want to look at how evaluating that personal, that both the personal and the gift immaturity can be a distraction. So there's going to be times when we need to be reminded, and sometimes reminding others when it's appropriate, that just because there are gifts operating in a person's life, even on extremely high levels, does not mean they are walking in the Spirit, hearing his voice clearly, in dependence on him. All that it does mean is that they have either been especially gifted by God to fulfill a need, or, and sometimes and, they have done the work necessary to tune their senses to be able to function in one or more of the gifts. So say someone is a terrific teacher, and when they teach, you feel the quickening of the Spirit, God telling you or quickening it to you. It gives you life and draws you to him. And yet, in another area of ministry, maybe personal encouragement, they may even be mean or sharp or critical. We're going to have to learn to separate those out. That it's okay. That's exactly where they are right now. We don't throw the one out because there's another area where the person is immature. Likewise, we don't accept criticism from someone or harshness or excuse bad behavior just because in another area they excel. Both of these approaches that God definitely and specific times and with specific people gives specific gifts of sometimes extraordinary quality or quantity. And then there's working, knowing, learning how to do the work. If you do the work, the gifts will function in your life. But we acknowledge that both of those are valid approaches to operating in the gifts, the supernatural gifts. But neither compensate for a lack of relationship. The Old Testament is full of examples of individuals moving in various gifts of the Spirit, yet none of them, not one, was able to live in a truly spiritually dependent relationship with God. That the promise had been given, but was not fulfilled until the resurrection. So until the resurrection, at the resurrection, the promise was fulfilled. So any of us born and knowing God after the resurrection had an opportunity, has an opportunity to know God and be dependent on Him that was not available before then. So once the resurrection happened 2,000 years ago, and we were resurrected with Christ, we not only have the gifts of the Spirit available that operate in our soul, we have a new spirit, and we can hear God clearly. So another challenge that we want to talk about, and that's part of our challenge, is to talk about these things. These are, you know, we want to be practical in learning how God does things, is the whole concept of hypocrisy. Do the actions line up with the words, and vice versa? We don't want to be do as I say, not as I do. Now, that's kind of the converse of what we were just talking about, that just because someone is excellent in one area, they may be immature in another. When we see that in ourselves, we want to recognize that that's what's going on. And we want to ask, does the life and ministry, in the broad sense, of a person line up with the giving character of God? That's a key ingredient, because very often we think, well, they have this character of God. They have His power. They have His insight. They have His whatever quality we are looking for. But a great way to test for the nature of God, the heart of God, is appreciation and generosity. Is that person generous with their time, with their heart? Now, that can be abused by many, and we don't want to go there either. But these are just being practical. What are some of these? What are some of these challenges that we're going to face as we start asking the Lord to stir up the gifts in us? Many times we can't know if life and ministry line up in a leader, because our leaders in the Christian, Western Christian tradition, our leaders and our ministers are often isolated from the people to whom they minister. Over time, and as our senses, our hearing, our discernment is honed, God will point out and we will be able to pick up on discrepancies between what is said and what is done. Just as we wouldn't automatically accept financial advice from someone who has just declared bankruptcy, we don't accept that a ministry is from the Lord just because it sounds right and it meets certain criteria. Likewise, we will also discern the living word of the Lord. The person who's just gone through a bankruptcy may have learned much more about finances because he's been willing to make mistakes and he's learning from his mistakes. So signs of hypocrisy are really just red flags that must be checked out with the Lord. In other words, we're not going to come up with a checklist that if certain criteria are apparent, we behave in a certain way, we act in a certain way. No, it's when we see red flags or God draws our attention to anything, we go back to Him. We're not going to be deciding and evaluating on our own criteria, but understand that God is developing judgment, soulical judgment, as your soul is freed from its own constraints of doing its own thing. The freer your soul becomes, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Right now, your mind is not free. Your will is not free. Your emotions are not free. They're all wounded. They believe lies. They're crippled. But God is healing your mind, your will, and your emotions. As that progresses, with the freedom comes a restoration of relationship to your spirit. So as your mind is freed and healed and restored, that relationship to your spirit is reunited, and your spirit can flow freely through your mind and through your body, and you can become one. Spirit, soul, and body. So everything we're learning, the red flags, the things we're learning, the purpose of our being trained in the supernatural gifts is all about becoming one. One as ourselves, spirit, soul, and body, and one in God. It's not to become better at something, more productive, more deserving, to make God happy, or to accomplish something. It's all very personal. And God is that big that He is spending all His time working out the circumstances in your life to bring you into that alignment. Another kind of red flag we want to look out for is, I'm sure you've noticed, there's a cycle of topics that Christians and ministries often follow. And that's something you want to look for, is are they being led by the Lord? Or are they just following topics that they are comfortable with? You may even notice that often what a minister is ministering on is something he or she is struggling with, or the Lord is teaching them, not necessarily something to be ministered to others. So we'll pick it up here. We're going to start talking next week about controlling. This is a big issue, and this is something each one of us is going to work with in a very unique way. But because the desire to control others and to even to control ourselves and somewhat to control God, this is the natural bent of a soul that is not united to spirit. So we'll pick it up there next Sunday. In the meantime, feel free to drop me a line. Visit the website as we are slowly rebuilding. It's always good to hear from you. I always appreciate your feedback. Until then, this has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great weekend.